Copen in Copenhagen, Copen in Copenhagen, Copen in Copenhagen, Copen in Copenhagen. This is a podcast about hanging out in Copenhagen. Hello and welcome to The Sick Show, coming in Copenhagen on 97.7 FM. My name is Owen and of course I'm with Marius.
Hi.
This is your modern guide to the Venus city of Copenhagen, and we give a good old crack to talk about Denmark and Scandinavia too.
Oh, there'll be some more Scandi stuff today, Owen.
Oh, Scandi! Marius.
Yeah.
Well, Marius, can I ask a favor?
I kind of started, but yeah, sure.
There's a routine we stick with here.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what is coming up on today's episode?
On this one?
The one, not next week's one, not last week's one.
Good, because I have no idea what's on next week.
This one. What are we talking about?
This one, yeah. A good old classic news roundup to kick it off with. Full of Scandi stuff today.
Scandi.
Oh, it's so Scandi today.
Yeah.
And then we went on a little bicycle trip, Owen. And producer Emma Boro. Oh yeah, you sound surprised. You were with me the whole time.
Was I?
We biked out to Reffen in a beautiful sunny weather. It was lovely, to be frank. Where we met Nahuel, who is one of the founders of Contain Art, and they do augmented reality art. Fucking nailed that one.
You were worried about that tongue twister, but you got it.
That's the red Lori, yellow Lori. You gotta do that before the show. Then after that, we're diving into one of these. We've kind of mentioned it, but the Copenhagen Post.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of sort of history articles, and I have selected one, and we will learn a little bit about a man who started a very, very famous amusement park.
So we're talking about Tivoli.
I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
It's going to be Tivoli.
God damn
it. It ain't fucking Lego.
Yes. We're talking about the founder of Tivoli and, just a bit of history about that.
Oh, cool. Anybody who has clicked on the Copenhagen Post link, welcome to the show if you're new to it. This is...
Anyone who hasn't clicked from the Copenhagen Post link, very welcome.
Hello to you too. Yeah. Look, we're all in it together now.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a good show. Let's get into it. You're on Sick. The news.
So, I mentioned previously that Sweden had gotten a little bit upset.
Ants in their pants about the whole closing of the border.
A little bit ants in the pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no need to dance.
I think that I was looking at the European Union, the European Parliament. There's some discussion, and the president of the European Union at the moment said that Sweden had some ants in their pants.
Oh, okay, that's an official quote.
It's your official European Union recognizes the ants in the pants situation.
Ants in my pants, and I need to dance.
Sorry, yes,
James Brown, rest in peace. Great. So there's a bit of tension, you know, and shit just got red hot, yeah, because none other than Greta Thunberg, our everyone's favorite 16-year-old climate activist,
yeah.
She recently posted on Twitter to her 1.4 million followers.
Yeah.
Denmark. This is the tweet.
Oh.
We're doing a tweet now.
Oh god, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel of information. But sure.
Tweets are it's the new news, apparently. Denmark? We're about to... No, I won't do a Swedish
Don't
accent,
do
sorry. Denmark,
she's going to start tweeting at you now, I mean.
Hey, we tried Disney. We might have Anyway, here's the tweet. Denmark, we're about to dump 290 million liters of unfiltered toilet water into the Baltic Sea. Turns out Copenhagen has dumped over 35 billion liters of such water straight into Øresund since 2014. Yes, the same Copenhagen who claimed they'll be climate neutral in 2025. So that's Greta giving us a bit of heat there.
Ooh,
yeah, she's not pleased, and fair.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably shouldn't do that.
They probably, you know,
No.
Not straight in.
Not.
I swim in that water.
I swim in that water. Yeah. And I looked into it a little bit, and it turns out it's true. This has been happening, and there was this further plan to dump a lot more of this unfiltered toilet water.
Is it like built up somewhere and then they just release it, or is it just like a continuous flow?
I don't know, actually.
I presume it's just a flow of it that they're just allowing in.
Yeah, probably.
It's not like they're... How big was it about to...
So they were about to dump 290 million liters.
See, I haven't seen a container that big.
No. I've looked in IKEA, but... just can't...
Can't find that size.
Yeah. No. We're not making omelets. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
But anyway, it turns out, investigating this a little bit, it turns out the energy company called Hofor had planned to dump all of this, this 200 million liters of unfiltered toilet water into the Øresund. Our minister for sort of the environment, she has come out and made a statement claiming that she was not involved in this decision. And it has been postponed now. Not stopped.
Yeah.
Just postponed.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's maybe something to follow up on and see where that leads.
Yeah.
But that's not all the trouble we have with Sweden.
Oh, God.
There's more.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You could say this was Sweden. They got a...
Prod in. Yeah.
A little jab.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was a boxing ring.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope Greta Thunberg isn't being used as a political pawn. I hope no one's like nudging her to be like, say something shit about Copenhagen.
Yeah. Those fuckers won't let us in.
Say they've got shitty water. Like literally shitty water.
Unfiltered toilet water is also, I thought that was like a, yeah, I don't know.
Strange phrase.
Yeah, choice of words. More like, yeah, I don't know. Sciencey. But anyway, so yes, as I previously mentioned, the Swedish foreign minister, Ann Linde, she has urged Denmark to open the border to Sweden completely. So it has been open.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had Swedes could come for jobs and Danes, back and forth.
Yeah.
It's been open for Danes to go,
mm-hmm.
Tourism in Sweden.
Yeah, I didn't know this, but I was talking to a friend of mine, and they went off north of Gothenburg for a climbing trip.
Yeah,
during the middle of Corona.
Yeah,
and I was like, but how? And he's like, you just could.
Yeah,
no one stopped.
I had friends who they spent pretty much their whole quarantine in a summer house in Sweden.
That's a good call.
Yeah, that was proper isolation. They said. Mm. they're kind of pushing, and they're frustrated that the border is not completely open.
Yeah.
And the minister points out that Sweden has not closed its border to the Danes, and that numbers of infection and deaths are not very high in the region, in the Skåne region.
Mm-hmm.
But the Danish ministry is still in general advising Danes against traveling. Unless it's like for jobs or anything.
Mm.
And if they do, to quarantine for 14 days when they return to Denmark.
Really?
Even when traveling to the neighboring country, Sweden. Yeah. And that's maybe probably due to this, approach Sweden has had, as we've talked about a couple of times.
Mm.
And now Sweden's former state epidemiologist...
Epidemiologist?
Fucking killing it with the words today.
It can be epidemiologist.
Epidemiologist.
That's skin. No, that's dermatologist. Never mind.
Yeah. Epidemic?
Epidemiologist. Yeah.
Annika Linde has condemned Sweden's current approach to coronavirus.
Ooh.
Yes. So she's given some heat to the current state epidemiologist. She believes that Sweden could have slowed the spread of infection and bought some time if they took action as Denmark did.
Ooh.
So there's a bit of heat from a Swede to the Swede.
Yes. Sweden and Swede action.
Sweden on Ooh. I've seen that film. But there is also, according to TV2, they have sort of the death toll in Sweden corresponds to about 40% within 100,000.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
40?
To about 40%, 40 per 100,000 population.
Right, okay, right, yeah. Okay. Right.
Not 40%.
Yeah. Of 100,000. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Wow.
Let's get the facts straight here, Marius. in contrast, the number is about 10 deaths per 100,000 in Denmark.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not all. The Denmark is getting more, we're getting in more trouble.
What?
Now with the EU.
Oh, I was listening to those guys. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, to the pants. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're really... there was this proposal put forth by France and Germany, which was set to establish an EU bond to raise about 3,725 trillion kroners to kickstart a European
economy. Once again, I got to check you there. Trillion billion.
Trillion, that's what it says in this article.
Trillion billion.
That's what it says in this article.
Is that like a tweet you're reading from somebody who's like innumerate? What's number blind?
No.
Trillion billion.
It says trillion billion here. I don't know if it's just because in Denmark we say... what do we say in Denmark? Milliard? Trilliard? Yeah, so we say a million, trillion, and a billion.
What? Trillion's lower than a billion.
A million,
it goes a million, a billion, a trillion.
A million. But in Denmark...
Let me get the blackboard, hold on.
Oh my God, are we doing math?
No. Yeah, it's really straightforward stuff. It's like...
No. Yeah, but it is... It's got some countries...
No.
No. No. What are you... Okay.
A million.
Yeah.
A billion, a trillion.
But it, okay, so in Danish, yeah, it's 1 milliard.
Right.
1 million.
Yeah.
Then it's milliard. It's not a billion.
Say it again.
So
say it
in 1 million. Yeah. 1 million.
Yeah.
And then it's 1 milliard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just
and then it's
a variation of the million. The
so
word
we don't
million.
Use billion.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So probably this is some kind of typo in that sense.
Sure. Okay.
So let's guess it's
we're going to say billion.
Billion?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Trillion is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it is also to kickstart the European economy, sort of hampered by the coronavirus. Mm. But this will not be supported by Denmark. Denmark is part of a small group of member states dubbed the Frugal Four. Along with Netherlands, Austria, and Sweden. So there's not everything we disagree about.
Yeah, some
Sweden.
Things, like, sometimes you get it right.
And they are against this debt-sharing proposal. Mm. The Danish government's position has sort of been that, according to Christian Rabia Madsen, the spokesperson for the government-led Social Democrats, that we are against transaction between countries. We are against transaction between countries, and we are against debt-sharing. It's our view that fiscal issues are national affairs.
Oh.
Yes. So instead, there's a Frugal Four has a wants to be sort of, they still want to lend money in the form of sort of individual loans to the countries, rather than grant all member states. One big fund.
Yeah.
We want to show solidarity and want to help contribute to the southern European economies getting back on their feet. But the Danes' position is clear. We're against assuming debt on behalf of others. And we're against mutual loans.
Hmm.
And to no surprise, this has been condemned by several European countries.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of props for handling corona crisis very well.
Yeah.
But it seems like we're getting our toes stinky. Our fingers wet.
What?
Our eyebrows furrowed.
Toes? Please tell me that's a Danish saying.
No, none of those were sayings in any language, I think.
But yeah, I see what you mean. That like kind of... I kind of get it that... Like, I don't know what my stance is, but I understand the fact that you'd be like, right, we looked after our own. We kind of... weathered the storm quite well.
Mm.
We want to, you know, reap the benefits of our little...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. But yeah, and that's the whole, like, the European Union. Like, how do we... Is it all for one? And that's that balance. Yeah, I don't actually know where I stand myself. I'm not a nationalist in any way. And I'm like, oh, let's you know, share cultures and spread it out. But I do also want to preserve some of like the history and culture. I think that can be an important thing. And then there's this dance, like how much do we take on the responsibility of fellow member states' poor handling of things? Should we support them and help them? Yeah, but to what extent? So it's not a black and white issue for me. So neither for the Danish or against it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to follow in general how Europe sort of handles getting back on their feet. Not to mention Brexit. But dem the news on.
Dem the news.
Yes.
Dem the news. And if you want to check out lots of other interesting articles and stuff, the Copenhagen Post is now out, printed and on your, I would say doorstep, but you know, doorsteps of places you know.
Yeah.
That you and can pick them up.
Frequent.
And frequent.
Now that you can.
That now that you are able to do such. So highly recommend getting out and reading the excellent articles on the Copenhagen Post. Mm-hmm. Now, at the top of the show, Marius mentioned that we went out to Refn, and that we did. Refn is not open until the 5th of June, which is next Friday, I believe.
Yep.
But we got a little sneak peek of a fantastic little artistic corner in Refn. And there's a lot
new edition.
A new edition. And a new take on art.
Yeah.
Altogether. An interactive artistic experience, I
immersive.
Would say. Immersive. There you go. That's the word.
Yeah.
We went out to speak to Noel and a couple of the artists involved in the project. Let's have a listen. It's a beautiful sunny day out in Refn when we arrive on the Thursday morning to speak to Noel, one of the founders of a fantastic new augmented art experience, Contain Art. It's a bit busy. It's a bit loud. There's only a week left for them to prepare everything, so you can hear hustle and bustle of people preparing their food stalls. But Refn isn't just about food. It's about creativity and community as well. We started off by asking Noel how they were able to get this little corner of Refn.
Would you like to see how it works first?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Refn has this policy, if you want to call it like that, that, I mean, they need creative spaces to add up to the experience of coming here. It's just not coming and having some food from, like, exotic or from anywhere in the world. That's a big part, but the ambience, the atmosphere is what makes people come back.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, the people, the owners or the director, they know Stefan from 5 years ago. He used to be one of the runners and handyman, as myself. Mm. But he's doing that for like 5 years. I only did it the last year of street food and the first year. So they offered him to take over this container, and he came to me and said, like, maybe we should do something because we have the same artistic inclinations.
Yeah.
And so we started. And then another friend we have in common, he offered his skills with the software Unity that we use to animate the drawings. And then another of our colleagues, also a runner here, David, whose background is industrial design, he decided to offer his help by modeling the 3D characters.
We're looking at a bunch of psychedelic, colorful paintings. Can you explain the special thing about them?
So we... with Unity, we developed an app that you will be able to download once we open, which you can use to scan the drawings with any mobile device.
But it is. Do you know of anybody else doing this at the moment, this kind of interactive? Because when you put your phone to it, the painting pretty much comes alive, mm-hmm. right? It comes out at you.
Yeah.
What gave you that idea? Is there just kind of collaboration of minds, or was it someone's dream to have this?
It was a brainstorm, actually. Yeah. It was a brainstorm because, as I said, I mean, he came to me, two more friends... joined to the conversation, we started brainstorming, and we got to the point of, that's what we sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, as you can see in that wall, our followers are not going to see it, but there's a sign over there saying, add another dimension to art.
That's
what we want to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Extend the experience of your art. Instead of just buying a poster, the colorful one, which looks amazing, but you put it in your wall, and it's like, nice, mm-hmm. drawing.
Yeah, okay, right.
But if you work with the app, you will see all the characters telling a little bit more of mm-hmm. the story
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Clearly, from an artistic point of view, it's beautiful and interesting, but what else can you see this being used for?
Well, the AR is like basically limitless because you can use it for industries. You can, because not only you can scan the drawings and see them move, which is super cool, but you can also interact. So by touching the screen, tapping on the screen, you can activate an action of this character. Mm-hmm. That could be used for machinery, for anything you want. One of our ideas, just following the course of the artistic side, it's imagine that you walk into a room completely white with some Google glasses or any glasses that you can use as wearables, right? Mm. You walk in and you only see a small mark in one of the walls, but through the glasses, you will be seeing something coming out and you will be in the work piece, art piece.
So it's very much an immersive kind of...
Yeah, you will be 100% inside the work piece, the art piece.
Okay. What about having this location in Reffen? Do you think this is a good place to launch art and...
Well, this is certainly the place to do it. Not only because of the flow of people we have. I think last year there were like 1.5 million tourists during the whole season, right?
Yeah.
But apart from, I mean, obviously the 1.5 million people will buy something. But that's not the point. The point is just to spread the word and make this famous because I haven't seen, after researching, I haven't seen anything similar, at least in Denmark.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Argentina. You yourself, Noel, are from Argentina.
Yes.
What about the other guys?
Stefan and Morten are born and raised in Esbjerg.
Esbjerg?
Yeah. And David and me are from Argentina.
How do you guys come together? Was that just because you all worked out here?
Yeah. I met Stefan on the last year of Street Food, and David and Morten used to work as well for Reffen and Street Food.
Is there a large international community here at Reffen?
I don't know the exact numbers, but while I was working here, there were like 40 Argentinians working on the stalls. Uh-huh. The runner team is, I think, 5 or 6 Argentinian and Chilean people.
Okay.
So, yeah, and depending on which one, for example, if you go to an Italian shop, you'll see that everyone working there is Italian.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I think they're the first or second largest small communities in Reffen.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. Argentinian and Italian.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's in Copenhagen in general.
Yeah, I could imagine. And how was that as an expat coming out and sort of having a little bit of South America?
Well, it's nice because you don't feel that much of a homesick thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why I left.
Okay.
I actually love traveling, and I went to New Zealand first and then Australia, and then I went back briefly to Argentina, and then I came here and said, like, okay, this is where I parked my car. I love it.
You were saying that Reffen's actually quite inviting to creativity and artistic. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between the food side of things and the art side of things in Reffen?
That's a good question. I don't see that much difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, gastronomy and full-on art, but the leniency you have here to create your own atmosphere around your stall, your shop, it's what makes Reffen like a big whole creativity pond where everything mixes and you get inspiration from your colleagues, they get inspiration from you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of give and take and sharing and you know, talking out stories.
Mm-hmm.
We here have many projects that the other people have like fall in love with, and we're trying to get them done before they do.
So it's a good like creative community out here.
The freedom you have to, you know, you always have to ask, but if it's colorful, as you can see here, I mean, they will love it probably.
But do you have to pay for this space?
We pay a small rent. Yeah.
Rent.
But as I said before, since they want to impulse the art community or help, you know, develop that side of Reffen, it's not considerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you don't pay commission on for
no,
like monthly.
No, it's only a fixed rent.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's for all artistic outlets.
As I understood, yes.
So you could say what is it, the municipality or is it a private company?
Yes,
because like, Reffen is owned by
Julian Group.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Right.
They have different markets in Denmark as well.
Okay.
And I suppose many other investments.
Yeah, sure.
I think their niche is that, you know, where they need that eclectic mindset so everything can, you know, be a mess and then come out as something really cool and colorful and crazy and
okay.
I would say not improvised, but they like to have that look.
Okay.
Yeah. We saw a you showed us a business card and then a burrito popped out of it.
Yeah.
Right. So in the long run, what's your plan for like you helping with minimizing food waste and things
yes,
like this?
Yes, that's a plan we have for the future. I would say maybe the beginning of next year because mm-hmm. we're still settling down here. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to go to the markets and talk to the restaurants and move from the physical sample of the food that you have in front of you in every market
yep.
to maybe an app for the whole market or the shop where you can just, you know, download, I don't know, Three Line Manila, our colleagues around the corner here with the Philippine food. Mm. So instead of preparing food every day and wasting three burgers or whatever the dish is, you scan it with your phone, mm-hmm. you scan the menu, and you see it before actually buying
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's say a random... broad numbers, I would say three burgers a day for a year is like 600 kilos of food yeah, in the end yeah. of the year, plus the money you spend in that.
Yeah.
yeah.
So a rough calculation would be like 20,000 krona,
yeah.
maybe. So for yeah, our idea is to reduce food waste as much as possible and save some money for the companies
yeah.
working with us.
And what about you so this clearly you the way you explained how it came about seemed quite what's that word when everything works out perfectly Emma what's the word where it everything is just luck and oh
timing
I'm going to remember and I'm going to say it on the podcast later. But it was just like perfect timing for you.
Perfect storm.
Serendipity. Serendipity. Thank you.
Serendipity.
So Stefan was here and kind of one thing led to another and these the great ideas came about. But do you see this as a project that you want to see through for the summer? Or by the sounds of it from talking to you, it sounds like you see this going further than just reffing. So what would your like kind of idea be in like maybe next year or the year after? Where do you see this going?
Well, as I mentioned, the idea we have with the food wasting efforts, let's say, to reduce the food waste, that's the main, I would say, the main idea we have because it's so, in the long run, profitable and sustainable as well.
Yeah.
Because we don't really want to make that much money. I mean, we just want to charge enough mm-hmm. so it's profitable for both. Like, the companies are saving money, we're saving food, and we can keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes along with the general idea of Copenhagen and Denmark in general to, you know, reduce, sustain, yeah, do mm-hmm. everything we can to, you know, make a better world for everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, the artistic side is limitless. I mean, as I mentioned before, we have this idea of walking into a room and seeing everything yeah. popping out of the walls.
Yeah.
We want to sell maybe at some point coloring books that you can use like a mandala or something like that. When you finish it, it's like popping out and floating over your...
Ah, that's yeah. amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can go into a lot of details, of course, but I don't want to give away all the surprises we have.
Certainly it sounds limitless in what you can do with this, but right here, right now, this seems like a fantastic beginning to a long journey, I would think. It's really beautiful, fascinating stuff, and we wish you all the best, and we're looking forward to talk to you in the near future about the next side of it.
Yeah,
thank you very much for being here, guys. I've listened to the show. I really enjoy it, and it's really nice to be with you. And thanks you for the exposure as well.
Cheers, thank you.
And we should say so. It opens up on the 5th.
On the 5th of June. Yeah, just come by, look around. You're welcome. Don't be shy.
Okay. Big thanks to Noel and Stefan for inviting us out there.
Yeah, honestly, Stefan's art is something to behold. It's quite
yeah. surreal. It has to be experienced. Like, yeah. and that's can the because. I'm not good enough at describing art, but like I felt like it was it's like it's somewhat psychedelic mm-hmm. Cartoonish
uh-huh.
like I could see the where the inspiration was
oh, yeah.
from
yeah.
like but you have to kind of see,
you gotta see it.
I can't do
you
it just with it. Words
yeah I'm sure we'll have a couple of photos up with the
oh, yeah.
On Facebook or on the podcast page yeah. To show, but it's worth seeing in person and doing the phone trick. So the idea is, I don't know if it came across on the interview, when you put your phone up to it, it comes
is it
alive.
This kind of Pokemon Go
yeah,
idea,
it, like, it
but
jumps
with
out
augmented
and, yeah,
reality the, where things interact with you and jumps out of the,
exactly.
the paintings and stuff.
Very cool,
drawings.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So if you go to Reffin, which I'm sure an awful lot of you will be in the next few months, it's on the far side of Refn.
Yeah.
By the boat, there's a little ferry.
It's very close to where you get off to. So probably the entrance, when if you take the ferry out there, that entrance you would arrive into the Refn kind of food place, then it's right on the right there.
Yeah, and you can't miss it. There, it's all the...
Tiles
on the front are all painted, and I think there's going to be like a colored skyline and stuff.
Yeah, we're talking about that. And so, music sounds like a bit of a party.
It's a party place.
It's a party place. Mini Berlin, also. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Getting, it's gonna be some lights in
techno. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. That was a nice little trip for us. But we're talking about the future.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the past.
Oh, let's bring it back to the past.
Bring it back.
Yeah. It's not that there's a segue here. We were just talking about colored lights and colored tiles.
Yeah.
You know what also has a lot of that?
What?
Tivoli.
Tivoli!
And Tivoli is looking at opening up very soon. With some restrictions. I recently read that they won't be they're not going to allow people to go on the dragon or the really sort of scary rides.
Because you sneeze more on them?
Because you scream more and laugh more and cry more.
Oh, God, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad.
So it's reduced Tivoli, but Tivoli nonetheless.
Yeah.
I did a deep dive into the Copenhagen Post sort of archive over sort of their history articles.
Yeah, they have... A lot.
They have a lot. There's so a much lot of interesting stuff there. And you just find it on their website. I thought, because I actually didn't, I knew, but I didn't really know.
Yeah.
Who the hell had this crazy idea to start Tivoli?
Yeah.
And that was George Carstensen.
One more time.
Gil is how we would say it in Danish. Uh-huh. Or George Carstensen.
Ah.
Yes. He was given the right to found this world-famous Tivoli on a barren patch of land outside of the city walls. Because if you remember one of my early history pieces, I told a bit about how Denmark and most European cities were sort of walled in, or they had like an outer wall sort of protecting the inner sanctum of the city.
Mm-hmm.
He was given permission by the king to do this. And it's a bit of a crazy idea, sort of, because his proposal was also that this will be, so I'm going to build something, but it's constantly going to be growing. Which for investors sounds like that's money down a hole.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy idea, especially back then.
So when is then? When was this?
I'll get to that.
Sorry, sir.
He spent his early life in Algeria and later witnessed the foundation of pleasure gardens. I like that phrase. In other European capitals such as London, Paris, and Vienna,
mm-hmm.
becoming sort of convinced that the same could be achieved in his own capital city.
Mm-hmm.
And his proposal was to build an extensive pleasure park designed with the aim of allowing city dwellers to escape the violence and boisterousness of the town and relax in a sea of tranquility.
Jesus, the violence and boisterous.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. And people were in need of pleasure because Copenhagen, was a walled fortress city at the time, and the terrain outside of the city bastions was laid bare and sort of fulfilled the role of a demarcation line.
Mm.
But it was fairly rough out there, also within the city. But like it's back in the day. Yeah. I'll get to when it was now. Okay. Tivoli first opened its doors to the public on the 14th of August, 1843. Carstensen, always the showman, was at hand to shake the hand of every one of the 3,615 visitors who passed through the gates on that very first day.
Couldn't do that today.
No. Definitely couldn't. That's sort of the quick insight to it. He was apparently also very much he lived a lavish lifestyle. He had over 100 waistcoats and would only drink the first glass from a champagne bottle he opened.
Really?
Yeah.
Christ, that's a lot of bottles to go through.
Mm.
So, first off, he shook 3,000 people?
3,615.
Every day aside, that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's a dirty hand at the end of it.
Yeah. Disgusting.
And... what was, so it was more of like, there wasn't rides or anything at the time. It was just this kind of
Well, there was like a, and when it opened up, there was a merry-go-round.
Okay,
there was like
right.
a theater. There was live music. A lot of like stalls, like more okay. like a carny kind of thing. I imagine.
Okay, but
throw
so
some
was,
balls in this bucket.
Yeah, but it, so it was.
Put your balls in this bucket.
Easy enough.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was the what we'd consider like the original.
Sort of a fairground.
Fairground, or, yeah. like theme park.
But actually, I read that the biggest sort of the thing that impressed people the most, going back to glowing lights also, was that they had these colored gas lamps, which back in 1843 was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Mind blown.
Exactly, exactly. So that was kind of the biggest draw, really, in the beginning.
I gotta say, it kind of gives me. I've never been to Tivoli, and it's become sort of a rule of mine now. It's never to go.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not gonna go there. But it gives me a bit more. It gives it a bit more credit that it is like historically like has foundations within the city, and it's not just a tourist trap that was created.
It was very much created for the citizens of Copenhagen to provide sort of this. Like, it was also a good business idea,
turns out,
but definitely a gamble and a risk, and to sort of accommodate the citizens so they could have
escape
a bit of
the violence,
boisterousness, into a sea of tranquility. Yes, well, we all need a sea of tranquility every now and then.
Well, it's up on the moon, isn't it?
Yes. Okay.
It's like there's a part of the moon called Sea of Tranquility.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, not only history, but also
space facts,
spatial geography.
Yeah,
spatial. I'm sure there's a better word for that.
Speaking of space facts.
Oh yeah.
Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket launch. Did you hear about this?
The private one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So NASA had sort of bought pretty much.
SpaceX.
Musk's rocket and space suits.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't launch.
Really?
Yeah. Due to bad weather.
Oh, because of bad weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw, and then a week earlier in the week, Virgin Orbit, I think it's called.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, there's Virgin Galactic.
No.
Or no. Yeah, Virgin Galactic is like, I thought Virgin Galactic was the space travel company, right?
But didn't, weren't they the first to send them? Millionaire into space or something?
Probably. But there's another one, Virgin Orbit, which is meant to be the privatized one, right?
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. Virgin Galactic is the...
This is like the billion trillion thing.
Yeah. It's, in Ireland, we don't recognize space.
So okay.
No. So there's Virgin Galactic, which is the private people going up to space, right? You buy tickets to go to space.
Mm-hmm.
But then Virgin Orbit is their satellite launching system.
Okay.
They want to compete with SpaceX for doing private satellites and stuff like this. And it failed. It, I think it crashed or something like that. But the way they do it is they launch a rocket off the bottom of a plane. So like a Boeing 747 or something, and all and then it launches. And
Boeing was also in the run for getting this contract by NASA, but
really?
they also
we need to get into this.
The bed. Yeah.
They all seem to be shitting the bed at the moment.
Yeah.
We need to get into this.
Yeah, rockets?
Yeah. Well, it seems like a growing market. I mean, now is the time to get into it.
Now is the time.
CIC Galactic.
Interstellar.
Interstellar. It would be interstellar, wouldn't it? Coping Interstellar Copenhagen.
Yeah, that's real shit. That's never going to take off.
Hey! Anyway, Marius, coming in the week ahead, I want to do stuff. What should I do? It's Marius's hot tips.
And these will take off. All right, hot tip numero uno.
Ah.
Yes. Well, bars have opened up. And so have some of the events at these bars.
Uh-huh.
And on the 1st of June, our very own Romas and Charlie... The creators of our theme song.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They will be at Mojo's juke joint.
Nice.
Yes.
Mojo's is back up and going.
Mojo's back up and running. So this is Monday the 1st from 9:30 to 12:30.
What?
Ooh.
How's that even possible? I don't know about that one.
That's what it says on Facebook. Probably just a midnight. Anyway, if you don't know who Charlie and Romas is, let me just tell you. A Lithuanian choir boy, that's Romas, gone to the dark side, and a washed-up English indie singer joined forces for an unlikely tour de force of sweet harmonies, bass-out rhythms,
and a whole lot of seductive rock and roll party action.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you did a lot of hand action when you read that.
I did a lot of hand. I touched myself. It's just to be sure to convey this. With
yeah, the, I get you.
Yeah. No, these guys are very talented.
Yeah, we've had them on the show.
Really beautiful really voices and good crack.
Yeah.
So go check out Mojos. And after the feature, there's an open mic. So if you feel like getting up on a stage and
doing your thing.
Then check out Mojo's Juke Joint on the 1st of June.
Cool.
Yes. Then there is an art workshop on in English.
Ah.
Yes. An art workshop is a space for art creating, funnily enough. Relaxing and having fun. We work in small groups, sharing ideas, time, and tea. Everyone creates his or her original artwork inspired by different artists and learning different drawing and painting techniques. They will guide you in this process, suggesting new materials and helping yourself to develop new skills while enjoying your relaxing and colorful time every Saturday.
Uh-huh.
This is arranged by Art Workshop Copenhagen. Yes?
Yeah. I love your... It's like... What was it? Like a... What was that when you do a reading? What was the word? You know, when you do a...
Yes? What is your...
God, fuck off, you're freaking me out.
When you do a voiceover?
No, not a voiceover, but like a reading where you do like a dramatic reading of something. That's what you're doing. It's like, it's... I love it though. It's good. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is on Saturday at 10 to 12. They have, you can check it out, sort of Art Workshop Copenhagen on Facebook, and they have several events coming up throughout June. So if you want to get your art on, go get your art on.
Cool.
Yeah. Finally,
yeah.
Speaking of art, we went to a beautiful art
place
today.
Yeah.
Art venue at Reffen. So of course, I highly recommend people going out to Reffen on June 5th when it opens up, and go and say hi to Noel and Stefan. Check out Contain Art on Facebook or on Instagram.
Yep.
It's well worth it, and it's outside, and there's food and beer. What's not to fucking like?
Done. Too good. Oh, you spoil us this week. That's the show. Okay. I'm spent.
Then?
I'm spent.
Spent.
I'm done. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
If you've listened through the Copenhagen Post website, cheers. Thanks very much for joining us. You can check out everything we've talked about on our Facebook page. We're also on Spotify and iTunes. Give us a rating.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Can you do that on Spotify or iTunes?
Yeah. You can listen to all our other episodes and check out some of the hot tips that Maris has been talking about. Thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the weather. Goodbye.
Bye.